Many of us have indeed been experiencing what we might call vertigo lately. I guess you know what vertigo is. It's that dizzy feeling. It's that feeling when you lose your sense of balance. Vertigo brings about that sensation of whirling, of spinning, of uncertainty. Physically and literally, vertigo is caused by situations in our inner ear, which is where body movements and gravity issues get sorted out, our inner ear. The inner ear sends signals to the brain to maintain our balance and maintain our equilibrium. And so when the inner ear has problems, vertigo is a common outcome. Dizziness, this sick feeling that makes us want to sit down and stay down, lie down maybe, and not get up because of the sensation of spinning and whirling. Vertigo might better be a description of our emotional state. When we lose loved ones, when we lose devoted members of this community, as we have in the last 2 weeks, we get that sensation of being out of balance, of whirling and spinning. Once again, we have to adjust to life without certain people who've been instrumental in this community, who sat next to us in the choir, who sat on the pew beside us, who encouraged us in the journey of faithfulness and life in this community, who embodied Christ's love and service in our midst. Vertigo might also be how we feel personally in our own situations. Maybe it's through a current crisis that you have going on in your life, or a work situation, or a transition. Is that you these days? I'm sure it's Judy Cutting today. She thought she knew the way forward. We think we knew the way forward, maybe, and then now we're trying to figure it out again, trying to discern what's next, what to do. It's a sense of out of balance, out of sorts. We have to wait. We don't want to wait. We have to wonder. We're tired of wondering. We have to renegotiate something, maybe like your marriage or your work situation or something else going on about your purpose and your life. Vertigo might be how we feel given the social and sometimes political climate of our culture. Police killing citizens. Citizens killing police. Bickering and bullying in the halls of government. No way forward, it seems like. Here's a paragraph from an open letter of African American presidents and deans of theological schools. It feels very pertinent this Martin Luther King weekend. I'm reading. In 1960, there were lynchings and robe-wearing Klansmen. Today, lynchings occur, but in different forms. Klansmen today bivouac without robes and hoods. Slavery still exists, but under the auspices of a prison industrial complex. Discrimination thrives with no intent or program for relief. As was true in the 1960s, it's a time for citizens of good conscience to once again rise up and rally to the cry for freedom and justice for all. The letter continues, how can we abide a justice system which is neither blind nor equitable? How can we suffer a justice system that victimizes African Americans and Latinos by jailing them disproportionately? How can we, as a United States citizens, claim that we are created equal and that we are committed to freedom and justice for all while injustice is rampant in the land? Sounds like a dire case of vertigo in our society, out of balance, spinning. Vertigo might also be how we describe our sense of the world these days. How do faithful Christians respond to what happened in Paris and what's happening in Nigeria? These hate-filled terrorists are masquerading as religious believers. Journalists, cartoonists, innocent people in a cafe, innocent villages killed. As one commentator says, there's been an identity theft of the Muslim faith. In the name of religion, people are slaughtered. I appreciate what some very prominent Muslim leaders have said. Those terrorists are doing far more damage to the Prophet Muhammad than any cartoonist ever caused. We need to be careful in our sense of vertigo about the terror and violence in the world not to condemn the Muslim faith. One of the overlooked facts of the Paris terror is the Muslim policeman who was there defending the journalist at Charlie Hebdo. We need to be committed to the best of our faith traditions that bind us together in community. And we're not going to defeat this kind of frightening terror and this violence with more wars and more drones. We have to work together to love and serve and build a world of peace and light, and that means global communities of faith, ridding the world of false religion and working for true religion that's about love and light and peace and justice and joy for all people everywhere. Our sense of vertigo is real. At least it is for me. There's another word for today, and I'm using this word veritas. Veritas is Latin for truth. Our scripture from 1 Peter seeks to fill us with veritas. So listen to the word of the Lord from 1 Peter, beginning with verse 3 in chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The author of this letter, 1 Peter, was writing to Christians in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is basically that area of modern Turkey, that peninsula in that area with the Black Sea to the north and the Mediterranean to the south. These folks are new in their faith, young in their faith, and they were facing in that day and time extreme hardship, even being attacked on the streets. Persecution, suffering was their way of life. Heartache was real for them. Vertigo, emotionally, socially, physically, would have been a good description for their condition. Life was spinning. So the opening words of this letter from basically restate the wonderful promises of the gospel, which seek to give a foundation for living, especially a foundation for suffering Christians in Asia Minor, but also for us. These words get to the heart of the faith, the very essence of the truth in which we are called to live. These words want to help us visualize several things. God is present. God is at work, and God rules. God's ways prevail, and we ultimately will prevail. That's the message. Even amidst the spinning and the whirling and the heartache and the suffering, the vertigo that affects our lives. Think about what Peter says here. Blessed be our God. By God's great mercy, you have been given a living hope and a new birth through Jesus Christ our Lord. New birth and living hope through Christ our Lord. vertigo, the challenges that we know make us want to give up. The spinning, the losses, the fears, the uncertainty, the terror makes us want to stay in bed, cover our heads. They're heavy burdens to carry. Yet the promise, you've been given a new hope. You've been given an inheritance, a new birth through Jesus Christ. Vertigo makes us want to quit. Vertigo, too much bickering, too much bullying, too much injustice. Who can stand it? Who feels energy to work for goodness and grace? It's heavy. Peter says, you have been given an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Even if for a little while you have to suffer various trials, God is at work, and all that is happening is not going to carry the day. That's the promise. The power of God is present. You are receiving the outcome of your faith, which will lead you to joy. God will do this. Salvation is promised despite all the vertigo, despite the spinning and the uncertainty, the discouragement and the despair, the injustice and the pain. God is not finished. While it may sometimes feel like we dwell in a land of deep darkness, there's another truth, veritas, that prevails. And while it may seem like problems reign and terror reigns and heartache is everywhere, discrimination thrives with no sign of relief, something else, namely someone, is present and active, and God will prevail. This message is echoed in Revelations 21, which the choir just sang, which Ginger talked about, to the children, even with all the vertigo, the veritas, the truth is real also. We have a living hope. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading through Christ our Lord. We didn't earn it. We really don't deserve it. It's given. It comes from God. God's love and God's grace poured upon us. That's the promise. Peter is writing all this in hopes that the people can thrive and function amidst their changing and spinning lives. Peter is writing all this so that the people can carry on despite the hardships and the hostility that they might be dealing with. On Friday of this week, as I was lamenting some of these losses and working on Saturday service for Mary Nelson Myers, I received the Daily Dig, which I've talked about before. It's a daily email that comes to my inbox with a spiritual message, a theological message. It offers encouragement. Friday's message came from a writer, a famous theologian named Henry Nouwen. And this is what Nouwen wrote and was received on this Friday. To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy. But to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, well, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only truly grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to the present moment. Let us not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see in it the guiding hand of a loving God. It's hard. It's close to impossible to be grateful for the difficult stuff of life. But the difficult stuff is always part of life. And God works in us and God works through us, maybe even more readily through the difficult stuff, to bring us closer to the reign of God. Nouwen says, let us not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see in it the guiding hand of a loving God. That's what Peter's also trying to say. We've been given a living hope, an inheritance that's undefiled, imperishable, and unfading in Jesus Christ our Lord. Even the hard stuff, the sufferings, the trials that we endure, they may be found to result in the glory and the honor and the praise of God. God can work through all things to prevail and guide us to life and light. That is the wonderful promise of the gospel. Then there's this third word that I've chosen for today, vitality, toward which we all want to go. We may be plagued with vertigo, all the sadness and spinning, the dizziness and terror that haunts our hearts and whirl. Yet we have the truth. We've been given a new hope, an inheritance, undefiled, unfading, the promise of salvation, more precious than gold, tested by fire. God will do this. Our calling is to live with vitality and purpose, pressing on, committed to the love and justice and light and peace of Christ our Lord. This week, and in light of this particular Sunday and holiday weekend, Martin Luther King weekend, Ginger and I went to see the movie Selma. The film chronicles the tumultuous three-month period in 1965 when Martin Luther King led the movement toward equal rights, equal voting rights for all citizens. This is a movement that faced brutal, violent opposition in Alabama, but also political and social opposition from leaders like George Wallace, for sure, President Johnson, and others. The movement to win equal voting rights included a 50-mile march from Selma to Montgomery, with incidents at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma as one of the major issues in the whole civil rights movement. Selma is a compelling movie. The story lifts up the daily heartache. The story lifts up the personal struggle, the tremendous sacrifice of so many who've gone before us. We like to revere Martin Luther King as a wonderful hero and leader, and we should. The film reminds us of the deep anguish, the personal pain, the toil, the hurt that he absorbed. And that's just 3 months of this long journey, his life. And we've not finished this journey either. As we all know, we live in a society that's still longing for equality and justice for all. A world very much distanced by justice and equality for all. In fact, when we were leaving the movie theater, we overheard one man. And he said, "It's too bad, but not a whole lot has changed from what happened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge." I think about that as a challenge. And I feel called to take on that challenge in some way, some continuing way. In fact, I hope we all feel challenged and willing and open to taking on that. That's the only way to vitality and life. By God's grace and mercy, we've been given a new hope in Jesus Christ. By God's grace and mercy, we've been given an inheritance that is unfading, undefiled. We cannot just sit on it. Otherwise, we haven't really received it. We cannot just say thanks and do nothing. Otherwise, we don't understand the whole point of the gospel. Isn't vitality what we all want? What we all pray for and want to work for? Vitality is that sense of being alive and purposeful and useful in God's plans. Look, we've been given a living hope, a new birth. We're to live with vitality as God's people. That means loving and serving as Jesus did. That means giving and going with our very best selves for justice and light and peace and hope for the world. That means responding to the gospel with fresh commitment and compassion and concern for all who are left out in order to make the world look more like the coming reign of God that's so promised, where there are no more tears, where there's no more crying, no more sighing, but justice and joy for all. We seek to be about living and loving, forgiving and doing. Where can you do that better? Where can you do that better? This is our calling in response to the gospel. We work for the new heaven and the new earth, wherever we find ourselves. We're called to be God's servant people, advocating, working, serving for a better world where justice and joy is for all. May we each today be so touched by the living hope, the inheritance that's given to us, the gospel message, the promises, and give our lives afresh to loving and serving, following Jesus in our personal lives, in this church, in this city, and for the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. We know, O Lord, what we are to do. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with you. So we commit to that way, following Christ our Lord. Amen.